WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Brad Dancer, WSHU General Manager. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Bird flu has been ripping through Long Island's East End. Volunteers have collected more than 11,000 pounds of trash during a recent cleanup of our region's beaches. Connecticut lawmakers advance a handful of bills in response to ICE, plus the latest from WSHU's The Making of Us. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Southampton town officials say bird flu is taking a slightly different path this year than it has in the past. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
Southampton officials say this year avian flu is spreading among the more public-facing birds like Canadian geese, instead of years past when it infected poultry and duck farms. Ryan Murphy is with the Public Safety Department in Southampton.
The public is seeing it a lot more, whereas normally it would be behind fences and inside coops and stuff like that at a farm, and you're not necessarily seeing the impacts as much. We're seeing it a lot more publicly now because it's wildlife and it's being seen in our ponds and our streams and our estuaries and things like that.
Murphy's comments came after videos circulated on social media showing dozens of dead geese in Sagaponack and East Hampton. The State Department of Environmental Conservation says 16 dead birds have tested positive so far, but it's not performing regular testing because the disease is widespread on Long Island. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Beachgoers left behind more than footprints on Long Island Sound beaches last year. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports thousands of pounds of trash have been picked up by environmentalists on both sides of the sound.
Save the Sound officials say volunteers collected more than 11,500 pounds of cigarette butts, bottle caps, plastic, and other garbage during a cleanup along coastal Connecticut and Long Island's North Shore. The United Nations Environment Program says more than 11 million tons of plastic wind up in the planet's oceans every year. The debris is dangerous to marine life and ultimately humans as it makes its way up the food chain. Local coordinators say the cleanup has many benefits, including removing toxic chemicals that can seep into the water. The 2026 cleanup season will kick off in April during Earth Month. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Some environmentalists aren't happy with Governor Hochul's plan to roll back New York's ambitious climate law. The governor wants to delay certain regulations until 2030. She's hoping lawmakers pass the change as part of the state budget. Elizabeth Moran is with Earth Justice, an organization that provides legal representation for environmentally focused lawsuits.
This is a manufactured election year climate law crisis that the governor is trying to push onto the legislature to cover for her own failure of leadership.
New York's climate law calls for a 40% cut in greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2030. Hochul says it would cost too much to meet that target, and instead she wants to set a new goal for 2040. Journalists have special constitutional rights. A closer look at what freedom of the press really means is coming up on the latest from WSHU's The Making of Us.
On your commute, on your walk, on your couch. With the WSHU app, you can stream your favorite shows, check playlists, and catch up on podcasts anytime. Plus, you can send us feedback right in the app. Tell us what you love or what you'd like more of. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Bridgeport officials plan to turn a former school into housing. Developers will convert the vacant Waltersville School into about 70 affordable apartments. The project will cost roughly $38 million and include units for low and moderate income residents. Construction is expected to take up to 2 years. State officials say they've seized more than 14 tons of illegal vape products during a months-long investigation in New York. They said most of the shipments were headed to Nassau County from a Buffalo-area distributor. The company and its owner now face possible criminal charges, and officials say the products were being sent to unlicensed retailers across the state. A Long Island golf course will issue refunds for overcharging some customers. Officials said Friar's Head charged non-residents higher rates than allowed under a town agreement. The town has told the course to repay those fees and review its pricing practices. Connecticut lawmakers have advanced a couple of bills meant to hold federal agents accountable for constitutional violations under state law. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
The bills are in response to the ICE killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy in Minneapolis earlier this year. Attorney General William Tong supports the move. He says it would protect Connecticut communities by allowing state civil suits against reckless federal agents like ICE.
I don't care who you are, if you're a federal agent or a state official, you don't have the right to hurt somebody or kill somebody. And Connecticut law will be enforced against you if you do.
One of the bills codifies a policy that prohibits federal immigration enforcement in sensitive locations such as schools, churches, and hospitals. Some Republicans on the Judiciary Committee oppose the move. Representative Doug Dubisky says it makes it more difficult for ICE agents to do their work.
For the people of our state, we should make it safe and easy for the federal government to fulfill its statutory obligations. We shouldn't make it difficult and dangerous.
The bills now go to the House and Senate for action. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The U.S. Constitution states Congress can't make a law that, quote, abridges the freedom of the press. And for this week's episode of The Making of Us, Molly Ingram looks at what that means for reporters and for you.
As a member of the press, I have the freedom to collect truth and report it to the public without the government controlling or censoring it. It's protected by the First Amendment. But did you know that you, yes, even if you aren't a journalist, have those rights too? Nadine Strossen is a constitutional scholar and the former director of the American Civil Liberties Union.
Throughout history, the Supreme Court has consistently refused to give the press, whatever that might mean, any additional rights above and beyond the rights that are recognized to every single one of us exercising our free speech rights.
Members of the press do get special access to briefings, information, and lawmakers that the average American would not be offered.
But so that's as a matter of practice. It's not as a matter of constitutional compulsion.
And reporters in every state but Wyoming have the privilege of confidentiality. That means we don't have to reveal our sources to law enforcement, even if a non-press member of the public typically would have to. However, a judge can threaten to hold a reporter in contempt for not revealing their sources. But again, the Supreme Court has not interpreted the Constitution to uphold that. In that case, it's the state's decision to make those laws. Strossen says that's become more and more understandable as the definition of press has expanded.
The line between the press and the rest of us has become so blurry with the era of social media, and everybody can document and witness and distribute and communicate. And is there any reason why you, with all of your wonderful credentials and experience, should be given any more protection than somebody who's doing it in a non-professional, or I guess you could say semi-professional capacity?
So why is freedom of speech and freedom of the press separated in the First Amendment if they're close to the same thing? Strossen says there actually isn't sufficient documentation of a reason.
But the hypothesis is that since the printing press was the only technology that existed at the time, other than speaking, that the two modes of communication that existed at the time were each separately protected.
So there aren't special federal laws that apply to the press corps or media companies.
So, Molly, you are a member of the press. You're earning your living through the great WSHU. And I'm not a member of the press, but we have exactly the same free speech rights.
So we can all be journalists. I can't wait to see your stories. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much to Molly Ingram for covering the show for me last week. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.